Harper Audio presents Everlasting by Kathleen E. Woodowis. Performed by Xanthi Elbrick. She knew his name was Raven Seaburn, that he was here at Westminster Castle in the service of his king, and she was aware of something else as well. That the tall, raven-haired Scotsman was staring at her again. But she was the Lady Abrielle of Harrington, daughter of a late Saxon hero of the Crusades, stepdaughter of a Norman knight who had also gained high esteem for his brave years of service in the Holy Land, both to be honoured here tonight, and she would give the man's attention the lack of regard it deserved. For here, at the court of King Henry, she was being paid the admiration of so many men. She wanted to savour this happy occasion, as nights such as this had become sadly rare in her life since her father's death and her stepfather's recent difficulties. It was difficult to be at ease, however, much less concentrate, with the Scotsman's vivid blue gaze following her with an intensity to which she was not accustomed. And as if his staring were not unsettling enough, the man seemed to possess some mysterious power over her own traitorous gaze, as time and again she found it straying in his direction, despite her resolution not to reward his attention in any way. He was but one of the many men who had shown interest in her in recent days. Ever since her arrival in London with her mother, Elspeth, and her stepfather, Vachel de Gerard, Abrielle had received the overwhelming regard of noblemen looking for a suitable wife. Though Vachel did not yet have a title, it was assumed that King Henry this night was ready at last to confer such honours on a man known for his heroic deeds on the Great Crusade. As a title brought with it lands and income, all knew that afterward, Abrielle's dowry would increase substantially. During her short stay in London, men had come and gone from her stepfather's apartments within Westminster Castle, presenting themselves first to her parents, then to her. Those who had done so were men of honourable intentions, which it would seem the Scotsman was not. As for all his apparent fascination with her, he kept his distance. Even now he stood beside King Henry on the other side of the great hall. Tall and powerful, decked out in bonnet and plaid, he was of an age perhaps a score and ten, mayhap 2 or 3 years beyond. But it wasn't only his height, an impressive display of muscle and sinew, that caused him to stand out from the rest of the noblemen gathered by the king to converse and await the announcement of dinner. There was about him an air of confidence that he wore as easily as he did his colours. He was the very last man she should be wasting her time thinking about, especially on a momentous eve such as this. For tonight, she was concerned with matters of far more import, as the king's words would seal her fate, determining whether life held for her despair or joy. Sufficient largesse toward her stepfather would bring the maiden a boon dearly sought but rarely won, gained only with a very large dowry. 'Twas the gift of choosing her husband from among the best of the land. She turned away and back to her stepfather and mother, whose excitement suffused her with pride. So much would be happening this night. Reward for Vachel, a loyal servant of the king, but also a poignant ceremony that evoked a heart-rending memory for Abrielle. Recognition for Berwin of Harrington's efforts in the Crusade was scheduled to take place this very evening, and King Henry was in agreement that some esteem would be shown to her late father as well as others who had fought in that campaign. At the Norman court, many Saxons had gathered, after spending countless months striving to have some homage bestowed upon their friends and kinsmen who had fought in the Holy Land, especially since the death of Lord Berwin of Harrington. It had been their way of throwing their own gauntlet at the feet of the unsavoury Norman who had gone out of his way to provoke her parent, and then, upon accepting his angry challenge, humiliating him for his lack of skill in defending himself. To their regret, the Norman had deftly delivered a death blow that had left Berwin's family and friends grieving over his loss. Although her stepfather of 3 years himself an honourable Norman knight of the realm, had escorted her and her mother to the palace for the event. Abriel knew the honours that were to be bestowed upon her father's memory were at first tantamount to a glove being flung across Vachel's cheeks. For he had been assured by others among the knights that at last it was his turn for recognition from the king. He had spent nearly a decade defending Jerusalem, and had been deemed a hero by many. Abriel knew numerous individuals who were as deserving of the honour that was to be bestowed upon her father's memory, not just Vachel, but also her late betrothed Weldon de Marlay, another Norman who had proven himself to be among the noblest of heroes during that campaign. Shortly after his return home, he had begun building a keep.